Let's begin with a word of prayer. Gracious God, our Father in heaven, we are thankful to be here in thy house, thankful to be with thy word in front of us, thankful, O God, Lord, that thy promises are true, that where two or three are gathered together in thy name, that thou wilt be among us. And so in this confidence, Father, we do come before thee and thank thee, Lord, for this opportunity. Lord, we pray, Lord, that we would redeem this time, that we would use it wisely, and that we would glorify thy name thereby. Lord, we just pray that thy Spirit would speak to each and every one that is gathered here, and perhaps those who would listen later, Father. May thy Spirit do his working in our lives, Lord, that there might be a difference, and Lord, that we might be drawn closer unto thee, and that we might glorify thy name as we are thereto called, as we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. For our reading this evening, let's turn to the Gospel of John and read from chapter number 3, beginning with verse number 22. John 3:22, and we'll read a few verses into chapter 4. After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. And John also was baptizing in Anon near to Salim, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized, for John was not yet cast into prison. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. John answered and said, A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. He that received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again unto Galilee. I wish to conclude there with verse number 3. I believe we're all very, very thankful for the Word of God that has been preserved for us. That's a statement that's often said and it's often reflected on, and truly we would be lost without the Word of God. And so God has found it fit that we would have His Word preserved for us even to this day, that we might know what the Holy Spirit has inspired men of old to write of what God would have them to write. And that would be sufficient for us to read and to know and then to believe and act upon that which is written here in God's Word. And so such a chapter that we've read this evening has a lot of good teaching in it, and much is in here. One of the things that we read here as John the Baptist spoke to the Jews here, he said that God is true. God is true. And so we would take that small phrase, three words, that God is true, and we would apply that into our hearts with a firm belief in him. And believe that God is true. Believe that what is written here in God's word is true. That all else is false. All else is not true. But the word of God is true. Because God is true. And he left his word for us. And so we can read here of that which had transpired in early in Jesus' ministry. And it began, we begin our reading here where it said here that after these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. So Jesus and his disciples were arrived here in Judea where there was a water source, and they were baptizing. And then if we go to the next chapter, these verses that we read in the next chapter, it says here that when therefore the Lord knew how that the Pharisees heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee. So Jesus was with his disciples. They were in Judea. They were baptizing the disciples, not Jesus himself. Jesus' ministry was not to baptize, but his disciples were baptizing. And they were here near an area where John also was baptizing as well, John the Baptist. And so when Jesus knew that these Pharisees are hearing that Jesus is doing a lot of baptisms, he made the decision to leave Judea and go back up into Galilee. Because that was not his ministry, but that was John the Baptist's ministry. And John was baptizing there in Anon, which was near to Salim, and because there was much water. And it says that they came there and were baptized. Many people came to John and were baptized of him. In Matthew's gospel, we read that it says that Jerusalem came to John's baptism, and all Judea and all that region round about Jordan, they all came to John and were baptized of him. And he preached there to them about repentance and how they needed to make a new life and walk in newness of life and follow the Lord. And he was confessing to them that he was not the Christ, and he denied not but confessed that he was not the Christ, but there was one coming after him whose shoe latchet he was unworthy to undo. And so this is the scene here that we pick up the reading, and it says that there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. So this was a time when the law was still in effect, and there were those Jews here that were very familiar with the law. And if we read in Numbers chapter 8, I believe it is, that the Levites, who were the priests at that time, they were to wash with the water of purifying, and they were to shave their flesh, and they were to wash their clothes, and they had to go through all this ceremonialism so that they might be pure and clean. And perhaps they were contrasting that to John's baptism and what the baptism of John meant as he was baptizing in water there. And so it says that there arose a question, but if you look at the root Greek word there, it's actually disputing. And the Jews were constantly doing that. They were constantly disputing, well, what does this mean? And going back and forth. So they were disputing, John's disciples and the Jews, about this purifying. And so they come to John, specifically the Jews, they come to John the Baptist, and they said unto him, Rabbi, referring to him as teacher, giving him honor, giving him the respect. And they said, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, referring to Jesus, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. So it was so that the disciples of Jesus were baptizing not too far away from where John the Baptist was baptizing. And so these men, trying to incite some conflict and some strife, they come to him and they say, he's baptizing and all men are coming to him. And if John the Baptist was a carnal man, that would have rubbed against his pride that he would have had. But he didn't. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. John knew the truth. And he recognized that nothing could be given to any man except it be given to him from heaven above. And we see that to be true in all Scripture, and we see it to be true in our own lives too, that everything that we have, it's come from God. Everything that we have has come from God. Our next breath has come from God. Our next heartbeat, our gifts, our abilities, our circumstances, the blessings that we have, the mercies, the forgiveness, everything that we have has come from heaven above. And so we are to recognize that and give honor to the Lord and not honor to ourselves. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians about how, why are you boasting as if you didn't receive what you have? If you received it, how can you boast? There's no boasting when you've received it. And then James also says in his epistle that every good gift and perfect gift cometh down from heaven above, from the Father of lights. Everything we have comes from God. John the Baptist recognized that. And so he said, a man can receive nothing except for it be given from him from heaven above. John's popularity rose very high. All men, people came to him from Jerusalem, Judea, all around that valley of the Jordan River. They all came to him to be baptized. And everybody was familiar with John the Baptist. But yet he knew his place. He knew that his Lord was greater than him. And he rejoiced in that. And when these men, these Jews, came to him saying that Jesus is also baptizing and everyone's going to him, it didn't bother him. He was good with that. And so he diffused their argument. And so he said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven above. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. And if we go back to the first chapter of this book, we see that John the Baptist, he confessed and denied not, but confessed. He said, I am not the Christ. I am not the Christ, but I am sent before him. And so he's reminding them, you remember me telling you this before. I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. I am his forerunner. And then his ministry will begin, and John the Baptist will fade away. And so he gives them this earthly example where he says, and he that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is fulfilled. John the Baptist is saying that he's in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's in his presence. And so he rejoices in that. He has the bride, not John the Baptist himself, but yet he hears his voice and he rejoices in being in the presence of the Lord. And then he says these beautiful words, he must increase, but I must decrease. And I believe that's true, that we feel that in our hearts as well, that in our spirits, we simply just want the Lord to increase in our lives in every aspect, and that we would just simply decrease more and more, that we would fade away, and that the Lord Jesus Christ would increase, and his glory and his that manifestation of that honor that he has would make itself manifest more and more in our lives. Jesus said, my Father is greater than all. Jesus said, my Father is greater than I. The Bible says that there is God, and then Jesus, and then man, and then woman. And these are truths that we need to believe in. And we need to accept these things as the truth, that that Jesus would say that my Father is greater than all, and that my Father is greater than I, and that there is a hierarchy. And when we fight against that, we do that to our own detriment. But when we allow ourselves to believe fully in what God has brought forth as to be true, our lives are blessed, and we receive a blessing in our lives when we follow that way that he has brought forth. And yet we know that God, in his goodness and in his glory, he has given unto Jesus Christ all. And so we see that he must increase and we must decrease in all ways, just as John the Baptist has spoken it here. And then he comes to these points as he's speaking to these Jews. Perhaps these Jews were getting a lot more than what they thought they were going to get from John the Baptist. They were probably expecting to arise in him, his carnality, but no, it wasn't. And he's speaking to them how great the Lord is and how he must increase and how the Lord must increase in John the Baptist's life and how John the Baptist must fade away more and more. And then he speaks these things further to these men that came to him. He speaks to them about five truths here in the next five verses. And I hesitate to call them theology or dogmas because that has some negative connotations with them, but it's biblical truth. It's biblical truth. And that's what we need to remember, that all things that come from the Bible are true. And they can be disputed, but they will not be refuted. They will be true, and they will stand to be true. And again, we can fight against it, but it's to our detriment. Just as it is that gravity is a reality in life. We can fight against it, but that's going to be to our own detriment. We can say it doesn't exist, but it exists. So likewise with the Lord and his word, it's true. It's true. We can fight against it, but that's going to only be to our detriment. But if we believe it and we accept it and we live thereby, our lives will be blessed. We will receive a blessing. We will know the Lord, and there will be peace and joy in our lives as we live out our lives before him. And so he brings out these truths. John the Baptist speaking to these Jews, and he's telling them these truths. He says this first: he that cometh from above is above all. That is a truth that is to be believed and accepted and lived thereby. He that cometh from above is above all. Jesus Christ is above all. And then he also says here further, he that cometh from heaven is above all. Jesus Christ's origin was from heaven. The Bible makes that very clear. I'll go through a couple of verses that make that very clear, that he is from heaven above, and he is above all. In the beginning of this book, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Jesus Christ was with God in the beginning, before the foundations of the earth. Jesus Christ says, for I came down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. Where did Jesus Christ come from? Where did he say he came from? He came down from heaven. Further, Jesus Christ says, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are from this world, I am not from this world. Jesus says, I am not from this world. I am from above. And so, even these few verses we see over that he that cometh from above is above all. Jesus Christ came from above, and he is above all. He is above all. Do we believe that to be true? Will we fight against that, or will we believe that to be true? Jesus Christ, the Bible says, is greater than Solomon. Jesus Christ, he said, was greater than Jonah. Behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Behold, a greater than Jonah is here. Jesus is greater. He was asked in the next chapter by the woman of Samaria at the well, art thou greater than Jacob, our father? Yes, he is greater than Jacob, his father. The Jews asked him, art thou greater than our father Abraham? And he says, before Abraham was, I am. Jesus Christ is greater than the temple. Jesus Christ is Lord of the Sabbath. Jesus Christ is greater than all. He that cometh from above is above all. That is a truth that is in this Bible, and we need to believe it. If we believe it, and we live thereby, we have blessings in our lives. Next, he says, and what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth. Jesus Christ was with the Father from the very beginning. And the Father has sent him. And what he has seen and heard in heaven, he came here upon this earth and proclaimed that message to mankind. And so what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth. He has firsthand experience of what God would have him to say. And no man receiveth his testimony. He that received his testimony had set to his seal that God is true. God is true. Those that have believed the word of God, as it came forth from Jesus, from God, as they received it, they believe this testimony and have set to the seal that God is true. There was this seal of authenticity that Jesus Christ came from God and that his message is true. These Jews were getting a lot from John the Baptist. The next thing he says to them, for he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. Could it be any different than that? That he whom God has sent would speak what God would have him to speak? And so Jesus Christ came here upon this earth. He was sent from God, and he came here upon this earth, taking upon himself flesh and blood, and he brought forth the words of God. He didn't bring his own message. He brought forth the words of God the Father. As God had sent him, he spoke forth the words of God. And then it says that, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. That might be a little bit hard to understand, but what it's saying that God gave to Jesus a limitless measure of the Spirit. And at first we might think, well, the Trinity, they're separate from each other. But no, they are one in with each other. John the Baptist said that when Jesus Christ was baptized, that he said, I saw the Spirit descending descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode on him. The Spirit came down and it abided with Jesus. They were together. They were together. Then Jesus also says that, well, you're not believing me with the words I speak, but believe the works that I do. Believe the works that I do, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in the Father. So though they are separate, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, though they are separate, yet they are one, and they abide together. And so he says here, that for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. Again, the Jews are getting an earful. They didn't quite expect to hear all of this message. And then lastly, John the Baptist says, the Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. The Father gave unto Jesus Christ supreme authority. Supreme authority, gave unto Jesus Christ everything, gave everything, all things into his hand. That was given from God the Father to his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus is Lord of all. This is a truth that we need to believe. Jesus came from the Father. Jesus spoke the things that he heard and seen. And now it's saying that God loved his Son. God loved his Son so much so that he gave everything and placed it all into Jesus' hand and gave him supreme authority. And the Bible also says that God, he loved his Son, and he gave him a name that is above all names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, of things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. God hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above all names. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. These are truths. These are truths that are written in God's word, and we need to believe these things. And this belief needs to make a difference. As this chapter closes out, he says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." This ought to motivate us. This ought to give us joy. This ought to want us to truly give our lives and our hearts unto the Lord, because that's what it means to believe. That he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. When we believe, that means we have given unto him our heart. And everything that comes from our heart is a reflection of Jesus Christ abiding in us. Because what comes out of our hearts also defiles us. So who's ruling in our heart? Is it the things that are written here in God's word? And are we accepting it? And are we believing it? He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. The Lord Jesus, as he was praying to the Father, said, "This is eternal life." What is eternal life? This is eternal life. "That they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent." That we might know the Lord and Jesus Christ. That we might know him and believe in him. And that we might have eternal life. That we might be a partakers of those things which eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. And then further it says, "And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." Such a sad reality. That's a truth here as well. There were those that wouldn't believe, and there are those today that won't believe it as well. Humanism is very popular, that we're ascribing more importance to humans than to God. It's a popular theology today, humanism. Man is important. This God thing, it really is not true. And so he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. And so we think of that verse where John the Baptist says, "He must increase and I must decrease." When we say that message to the world today, they scoff at it. They think it's foolishness. Can you imagine if there was going to be a seminar at the Cleveland Convention Center of how you might, a big conference about how you might learn to decrease yourself? How many people would show up? But it must be that we decrease and that we would allow Jesus Christ to increase in us. This chapter has four musts in this chapter. That means that it has to be, there can be no other way. It's a must. That means there's no alternatives. It's just this one way. And these are the words of the Lord, so they are true. In this chapter, Jesus Christ is speaking to Nicodemus, and he says, "Ye must be born again." There's no other way. There's no other way for us to enter into heaven than for us to be born again. A new heart. A new life. Repentance has been accomplished. We have been baptized. We're walking in the Spirit. And we're walking with him. And we're being motivated by him. And we have this love in our hearts for him. And peace and joy is abiding in us. We must be born again. That spiritual birth has to take place. There is no other way. That's a truth in this Bible that we need to believe and accept. The second must in this Bible, Jesus Christ says that as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Even so must Jesus Christ be lifted up. There's no other way to pay for our salvation. That message of redemption that we heard about Sunday afternoon, there was no other way for that to be accomplished than for Jesus Christ to be lifted up. And so Jesus Christ was lifted up on the cross, and he shed his blood for all mankind, and that those that would believe in him and give their heart fully over to him would have salvation. There was that redemption. And so Jesus Christ said, "Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." There is no other way. That has to happen. The third must is that he must increase. In our lives, just as John the Baptist pointed to Jesus Christ, he said, I'm not the Christ. I'm not the Christ. And though all men flock to John the Baptist, though Jesus Christ said that those that are born of a woman, there's not one greater than John the Baptist. And when Jesus Christ said, the baptism of John, was that of men or was that of heaven? The people knew that was of heaven. John had a lot of glory, but he knew his place and he said, he must increase. Jesus Christ must increase. So in our lives, Jesus Christ must increase. Our identity, who we are needs to fade. But he must increase. And then the fourth verse of the fourth must is, I must decrease. We need to die at the cross. We need to give our lives so that the life of Jesus Christ can be alive in us. That has to happen. That's a must that we are called to. Beautiful truths in the Word of God. Beautiful truths. Beautiful promises in the Word of God. We can have eternal life. Eternal life. We don't have to die. We don't have to die. We can live eternally. And the Word of God teaches us how we might do that. May He bless His Word upon our hearts. Amen.